We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Light Years. We are all positive news in Warriors land these days.
Not really.
But two wins this weekend, you know? I'm going to tell you this. I've recorded after every game this season. Okay. And the numbers reflect the ebbs and flows of people's interest in this team. And anyway, with that I have to say, I got Aaron Larsoul across from me this week. And the Warriors are officially the 3 seed right now with 1 week to go in the NBA season. We have 3 Warriors games, 4 Mavericks games. Most teams probably have 4 games to play. The Warriors have 3 games to play. How are you feeling?
I'm good. Yeah. But now I want to know. Now I'm curious. You said the ebbs and flows of the listenership and the interaction kind of ebbs and flows with how the Warrior season is going. Do you get more interaction and downloads when it's good or bad?
It was good. Come on, man.
But at least on Green Room, you get people wanting to sound off.
And so you go both ways. I guess the better way to put it is the NBA
season. You don't know me that well.
The NBA season is long.
Yes.
When things happen, there are spikes. Okay. A loss to the Sacramento Kings is not going to bring out the Boo Birds the way that a loss on Saturday night with LeBron James getting 56 on the Warriors might. So
Yeah.
It's fun to track, but that's, you know, people aren't here for my analytic takes on my pods. So right now though, I want to start with this.
Okay.
Warriors beat the Sacramento Kings. They obviously beat the Utah Jazz, which we'll get to later. They are currently holding the 3 seed over the Dallas Mavericks. The Dallas Mavericks dropped. Remind me who they lost the game to.
Well, they beat Milwaukee today. And right. It was either yesterday or the day before. It was 2 days ago. They lost to the Wizards. So
the Wizards.
They lost one. They gave one away and then kind of stole one back.
Well, the Warriors gave one away to the Wizards too. So, you know, it is what it is.
You ain't lying. Pistons and the Magic.
But anyway, right now the Warriors are holding on to the 3 seed. If they win out, they will control the 3 seed destiny. Do you even think that matters? I guess that's where I want to get with it.
Yeah, I think it matters a lot for a couple reasons. I think obviously the Warriors want to play Utah, and it seemed like that was going to be the 4-5 thing. You would like to play Utah first, but Utah is in danger of falling down to 6. Because they can't beat anybody, and Denver's been playing pretty well recently. But I think it matters much more in the second round. I think Phoenix might be a better matchup for the Warriors. However, the way that Phoenix plays and how drilled they are and how cohesive they are and how precise they are, I think to beat them, you want to have Steph at full health. I mean, you need Steph at full health anyway, but I think you want to have more time with Steph kind of figuring out all the cohesion, because he and Clay and Dre haven't played together. Those guys know what they're doing. They have all that championship experience. But those guys and Poole or those guys and Wiggins, they don't as a unit have all of that experience. I think that experience is going to matter more against Phoenix. And so I would rather play Phoenix later. It also gives a chance for Chris Paul to get hurt. but I think even more, another reason for it is I would rather play Memphis in the second round because we don't know what Ja's health is going to be like. He hasn't played in a while. Obviously, Memphis has still been the destroyer of worlds without him, but they're not winning without Ja in the playoffs. And right now, his knee injury is kind of strange, so you'd rather get them earlier.
So you're going pure like brass politic on this, like from the strategic standpoint. I like this. I hadn't considered it from this angle because for the listeners of the show, I've always gone with the Warriors would rather play Phoenix first because I think Phoenix is a more beneficial matchup for the Warriors and has mostly to do with DeAndre Ayton versus the Steven Adams, Jaren Jackson, Brandon Clark, you know, whoever they bring out of the Appalachias to add to that. Like, I mean, they're bigger, stronger, faster.
Yes, really yes they are. To. Yes, and the Warriors, as you've noted on this show and on Twitter, the Warriors have beaten the Suns on the backboard all four games this year. So right. I agree with that. I just think that it takes more precision to beat Phoenix than it does Memphis. And so I think having some time with Steph back to try to generate that precision, I think in this case, I agree with you. I think Phoenix is a better matchup, but I think I'd rather play.
See, it's later interesting. I think
Jaw's injury.
Let's break this down. Okay, so I think they're more likely to get their precision back than they are to be physical, really quick. So I feel like the Warriors, like this, all goes under the assumption that Steph Curry is back. You know, it takes him a week to find his rhythm, and they're the Warriors by round two. That's kind of how I'm going with it. Whereas your perspective seems more like Memphis can be a street fight no matter what.
Yes.
And Phoenix is going to be its own thing no matter what, but like get the street fight out of the way.
Well, yeah, especially because if it's a street fight, the Memphis best fighter is also coming off injury, and we like his is even more, the timeline is even more mysterious than Steph's, right? Like Steph is coming back beginning of the playoffs. We don't know what Ja.
I feel very confident Steph will be back, but you're right. I've always assumed Ja was back. I haven't even considered the possibility.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been weird, right? It wasn't his knee, and then he was day to day, and then it was he's going to be reevaluated in a few weeks. It's been very like, for Lakers fans, it's been very like Kendrick Nunn-esque. For Warriors fans, it's been very James Wiseman-esque. It's like kind of day to day, and then all of a sudden, wait, no, it's not. It's weird. So, do I think Ja's going to be back? Yeah, but knee injuries are tricky. Warriors fans will know. You know, Steph's had him in the playoffs when he slipped on what was the dude from Houston?
Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah, exactly. Right, he like slipped on his sweat or something.
I hate
right?
his name. I like him. I like him as a player, but I'm still bitter about him.
So, and those things can be tricky, right? And we just don't know what it is. So, I think I would rather get if it is going to be a street fight. And you've talked about this before, but Memphis kind of reminds of those old OKC teams that the Warriors used to struggle with because they just got in you and you had trouble executing the Warriors scheme and system because they were bigger and faster and stronger and they were just annoying to play against. I also think you maybe want to get Memphis early because I think that in addition to Ja, we don't know his injury stuff, all that like confidence and swagger and stuff, like you don't want to give that a chance to really get rolling. And young teams tend to not do very well in the playoffs, and I don't think Memphis has suffered enough. You know, they won that the opener against Utah last year and then got the doors blown off them four straight games. I don't know that that's suffering enough, so they still kind of have this group at least still kind of has a lack of playoff experience, and I don't know that you want to let them gain more and you know another round of playoff experience before playing them. I think you want to get them early.
No, I get what you're saying. I hadn't even considered it from that angle. Like in my mind, Ja was going to be, you know, mid-season Ja, destroyer of worlds, that guy. If he is questionable, they don't know who they are with him. That leads to, like, their swagger really goes down. It's not like kind of the same team we've seen. And not that the Warriors can't beat them in any context, but for a Warriors team that's working through whatever, you know, like they're, whatever lineup they roll out in the starting lineup of game one will be probably the first time those guys have played together.
Right.
They can use as many advantages as they can get right now. Like there's
Yeah, I think I would rather be, I guess what it boils down to, especially as we don't know Jaws, you know, what his health is going to be like. I think I would rather be working through stuff against Memphis than against Phoenix. Even though I agree with you, Phoenix is probably a better matchup for the Warriors. I think the Warriors would handle them more easily, all things considered. I just think you want to be, I would rather be working through stuff against Memphis than against Phoenix.
Yeah, no, you've sold me. Assuming what you're saying is how it goes. Let me ask you this before we move on to the next topic. Of the teams the Warriors are going to play in the first round, and by that I mean, you know, Dallas, Utah, Denver, I guess Minnesota has a shot, but probably not. Who would you consider the most advantageous matchup?
Utah. Utah's broken.
You're not just reacting to Saturday?
No. Utah doesn't like each other. They have very specific weaknesses that they have not corrected. Even though Joe Ingles hasn't had a good or didn't have a good season, and then they traded, he got hurt and got traded. He is a loss for them. Their offense has been good this year, but the Warriors can punish them in ways that they cannot punish back. Anytime Rudy Gobert posts up, like it's so easy to switch. The Warriors like to switch. The Warriors are a pretty switch heavy defense. You can switch against Rudy Gobert and literally anybody on the Warriors, and it's not going to hurt you. It might hurt you on the offensive glass a little, but they won't throw him the ball. And if they do, he's not hurting you in the paint. It's not Jonas Valanciunas. It's not Steven Adams. You know, it's not Cat. It's not Jokic. It's not Embiid. I mean, he's a huge mammoth human being, but he's just not any good around the basket. I mean, catching and dunking is fine, but like post moves, getting his own, it just doesn't work. So they also, for as good as Rudy Gobert,
I kind of feel bad for him because like the clips are starting to roll out and it just makes Donovan Mitchell look awful the whole way through. Like,
and it's going to be the last nail in the coffin for this iteration of Utah.
I do agree with you on like the macro sense. Like, Rudy's not Hakeem. You're not throwing it to him in the post, letting him like just go to work. But like, dude, if he's posting Jordan Poole, throw him the ball and let him get one dribble and dunk, right? Like that sort of thing. Like he's capable of that. And
but is he capable of it? I would say theoretically, but apparently not because he never does it. Right. Like the Clippers had Terrence Mann like and Reggie Jackson guarding him.
Terrence
Mann's
fair. Okay. Yeah.
They had him guard. You're right. Like he's not punishing. He's not going to punish Steph, whether he's incapable of it or whether the Jazz have no confidence in it, so they won't throw him the ball. For whatever reasons, you can switch anybody on him in the post, and the Jazz and he do not take advantage of it. Is it because they don't like him and they don't want to give him the ball? Is it because it doesn't work and he's not very good at it? And you don't have to double him. And even if you do, he's not a good passer out of it. There's just like anytime.
Definitely not a good passer out of it.
Anytime Rudy Gobert catches the ball in the post, I don't care who it's against. Go ahead. Like it's a win for the defense. And for everything that he does really well defensively, we've seen Steph turn him into a pretzel on the perimeter already in the playoffs a bunch. There used to be the thing that he got played off the floor in the playoffs. I think that was overstated. But a lot of their defensive struggles in the playoffs are because their perimeter defenders are so bad. Rudy has to run all over the place trying to make up for all of that. And that hasn't been addressed. You know, they don't have anybody to guard the Warriors perimeter guys. So
that's
100 times out of 100. I want Utah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Let's talk about that. Like, let's get into that Saturday night game. I don't even think the Warriors played that well on Saturday. I thought the Warriors played like subpar basketball and got hot, but like
they played very well for like 4 minutes.
They can only get hot against Utah because Utah literally has like guys of your and my athletic caliber on the perimeter defensively. Like it's a bad look.
I think the undersold part of it is they don't like each other. And that leads to, and I think it comes from offense. You know, like Donovan doesn't trust. There was some stat today that was going around Twitter. I think
less than two passes a game. Yeah,
Donovan Mitchell throws Rudy Gobert two passes a game. And I think I saw a follow-up stat that Trae Young has more assists to Clint Capella this year than Donovan Mitchell has passes to Rudy Gobert.
Not good.
So I think some of that, and they just like have had personality conflicts for a while, but that really like manifests itself on defense, because defense, you have to trust everybody else and you have to be cohesive. You have to be communicative. And you saw it during that Warriors run. Like there was nobody around. Wiggins walks into that first three. And then after that, it's the same thing over and over. It's like Draymond pick and roll or Draymond dribble handoffs to Clay. And it's just wide open butt naked threes for the second best shooter in the history of planet Earth. And a lot of it looked like these guys, they're just like checked out and don't want to play with each other.
Yeah, they basically caught them making one to two bad defensive rotations. And the Utah Jazz did. Everyone's been on a team where you don't like each other. And it's like one bad play, arms in the air. See, I knew I couldn't trust him.
It's a bunch of pointing at each other.
Exactly. Uh-huh. That's the Utah Jazz right now. Meanwhile, the Warriors, who have a lot of things to work through on their own, just stuck together there. That's literally all that had to happen right there. It's like, stay together, stay the course. Utah's going to fold. That's what happened on Saturday night. I want to move this forward. Where are you at with Clay right now in his recovery process? Like, yeah, I feel like it's two separate questions. What do you think of Clay's play in context of his comeback? And what do you think about Clay in context of the Warriors making a title run?
So Clay his shot has looked better the last couple of weeks. It's still nowhere close to Clay.
What part? Like it's not his shot, it's his shot selection.
Well, his shot selection has gotten a lot better, but the shot, like, you don't think every time he shoots the ball it's going in anymore. You say, yeah, like he still can shoot it and he still terrifies people, but I don't think, like, even when Steph was going through his, you know, he was going 3 for 17 for a couple weeks here. Every time he shot the ball you still thought it was going in.
Yeah,
I don't feel that way about Clay yet, but I think that you have to not just the politics of it, but I think you have to live and die with Clay. Whatever version you're going to get, I think you have to live and die with Clay, because even when he's just a good shooter and not an otherworldly shooter, two things. One, he still has the chance. And this is something I want to talk about later, like the decisions that raise the floor versus raise the ceiling. Even he has a chance still to get as hot as anyone in the history of planet Earth. And he is still, even when he's not shooting the ball well, still terrifies defenses. So even when he's not playing well or shooting well, I think he still has intrinsic value that makes him definitely have to be a part of your best 5 minutes.
Well, let's take it to Saturday night. Okay. So actually, let me take it broader. Okay. So you could say he's the reason they lost against Phoenix on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter. It like the same reason you would say he lost the game on Wednesday is the reason he won the game on Saturday. All this gets back to this overwhelming concept, which is dude's getting up a lot of shots.
Yes, he is. And, he's not shy.
And they're riding him like he's Klay Thompson. You know, yes. Game 6, NBA Finals. That's our dude. We are riding him. And I want to ask you macro-wise, how do you feel about that? Because I'm watching this and like, on the one hand, he's a gamer. I trust him mentally. Like he's not a guy who's going to get shook by any opponent. Giannis can have 40 on the Warriors and he's going to think he can stick him and hit 4 shots in a row and win the game.
Yes.
Like he's that level of confident in himself. And that comes from 3 championships and just being that kind of guy. On the other hand, I'm watching and I'm wondering, does this Warriors team need to evolve off of the general Steph, Klay, and a bunch of dudes passing ball in circle thing?
Yes, probably. But this is why like the Steph injury here has been so problematic, in addition to the fact that the team isn't very good without him. It's so problematic because like Klay's shot selection has gotten a little better, but is he feeling like he has to get, and part of this is Jordan Poole too, because Jordan Poole the last month or so has been so good offensively that maybe Klay doesn't feel like he has to force it. But for a lot of the season in Klay's return, he's been forcing a lot. Does Klay need to shoot less? No. I want Klay shooting as much as he wants, and Klay wants to shoot every shot. Klay needs to shoot better shots. All the off the dribble stuff, it just doesn't work. And so when he's feeling like he needs to get shots up and force shots,
very forced. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'll catch and shoot anything. I still want Klay doing 1 dribble pull-ups. I'm okay with, but when he's like trying to get in the lane and he ends up like that baseline floater where he's kind of like leaning to left or right, kind of falling out of bounds, like, or like falling backwards because he doesn't have the athleticism anymore to like go straight up and not get his shot blocked. That kind of stuff we got to get rid of. But I don't, like, in a macro sense, I don't need Klay shooting less. But part of this is how much does he feel like he has to force it because Steph isn't around? How much is he going to when Steph is there? And, like, but yes, I think to answer the second part of the question, yes, I think the Warriors offense is going to need to evolve from the, like, Steph and Klay run around and let Draymond find you, because as great as that can be, that only really works when those guys are at their peak. And we haven't seen either one of them at their peak this year. And like that used to confuse everybody and get all of those actions got like people like Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala and Kevin Durant, et cetera, like slips for dunks, even Looney, you know, all of that. And it's not the case anymore. You know, the Warriors, I think it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago, like led the league in dunks because all of that stuff confuses people so much that they were able. But now teams have caught on to it. And especially in playoff series where you have more time to focus on each opponent and you're playing better, smarter defenses in general. Yeah, I think there needs to be some evolution of that or the Warriors half court offense is not going to look great.
All right. Let's assume Steph is back for game 1 of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
What's your starting lineup? We haven't even talked about Jordan Poole, who's currently playing like one of the 5 best players in the NBA.
Who's the opponent? Because I think that matters.
Let's assume it's Utah or Denver.
That's
the route it's going.
I think I think it would be the same either way. My starting lineup is Steph, Poole, Clay, Wiggins, Dre.
So you're going small the whole way through.
Yeah, because, what's the alternative? You play Looney, you're still small, and you don't get the benefit, especially against Utah. I definitely do that. I hear the argument if you want Looney against Jokic. I disagree because you're still small, and you don't get the benefits on the offensive end. And Dre's going to be a better defender against Jokic anyway. So I would play Looney more in a series against Denver than I would in a – I don't think you play Looney at all, frankly, against Utah. I just don't. And you're going to get mashed against Denver. You're going to get mashed. You're going to get crushed. But I think that – what I was going to say earlier, I think that Kerr leans defense and wants to solve his problems with defense. He kind of defaults to defense and thinks that his scheme will get buckets. And in the playoffs, I'm not sure it will. So I think you want to, and what that's doing is kind of raising the floor of like competency and like standards of basketball. I think you need to raise for the Warriors to win a championship. I think you need to lean. He needs to lean offense and try to raise the ceiling, because I think the Warriors at their best may be better than anybody in the NBA. Brooklyn is at their best, absolute best. Fine, but
like Brooklyn's got a lot of.
Brooklyn's not going to guard anybody in any circumstance. Brooklyn's not going to guard anybody. So the Warriors A+ may be better than anybody's. And I think that Kerr should be going towards that or trying to make decisions towards that, as opposed to getting, you know, a B- or B all the time, because that's not going to be good enough. So I'm starting Steph, Poole, Clay, Wiggins, Dre. And I think if Wiggins is engaged and Dre is Dre, you're going to be good enough defensively. And that is probably the most explosive offensive group.
Where are we at with Kuminga? Kuminga tonight, 31 minutes, 17 points, 6 for 11. But Kuminga did not play the last two games.
Yep.
4 minutes against Utah, 5 minutes against Phoenix. Going to be honest with you, kind of shocked me. Because especially Phoenix, I mean, he kind of had his coming out party nationally against the Phoenix Suns with the dunk on JaVale. He definitely feels the camera in the moment, and I kind of like it, to be perfectly frank.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sitting here, I understand the coaching staff not wanting to lean into a 19-year-old rookie, but on the other hand, I see the only guy in this roster who gets to the rim with consistency.
Yeah, you and I have been like kind of texting about this offline or talking about it offline. I think especially in the playoffs, and it goes back to what I was saying, kind of leaning offense and leaning into ceiling, like the highest ceiling as opposed to the highest floor. And in the playoffs where you maybe can't get those system buckets and it's not so easy, somebody that can get to the rim just physically and get kind of a garbage, you know, 8, 10, 12 points just off physicality and explosiveness and just kind of being around the rim and just getting garbage, right? Offensive rebounds and, baseline cuts and all of that kind of thing. And even his little like spinning tornado move, I think you have to live with mistakes.
Do not lean into the tornado thing.
I think you have to live. Okay.
We're not going to acknowledge that from a broadcast perspective.
I think you need to, it's kind of the same philosophy I was just talking about. I think you need to live with some of the mistakes, especially defensively, because I think the Warriors are going to have trouble scoring in the half court in the playoffs. And he is somebody that can kind of, when you just need a bucket, he's somebody you can throw it to. And just based on his like raw physicality and ability, he can get you some buckets that you're not going to get otherwise.
All right. Let me ask you this. You're Steve Kerr. You've won 3 championships. People ask you to do speaking engagements all the time, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
What are your top 2 to 3 goals in terms of playoff rotation? Who are you trying to give confidence to in a line? Where are you trying to go with this whole thing? Because this is objectively a different Warriors team than the teams which he made his name on and, you know, we're used to. Like, the last time the Warriors were a lock to be a top 3-4 seed in the playoffs, they had Sean Livingston, Andre Iguodala, you know, the 5 championship run, that whole thing. This is, I know we have Steph off injury, you know, fingers crossed, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, but in general, this is a different group.
Yeah, so I think, and this also becomes like the macro question of trying to align eras. I think Moody and Kuminga should have played more this season, but I don't think you want development minutes. Like right now, you owe it to Steph and Klay and Draymond and Iggy and, you know, to try to do your best to go win a title. So I think Moody has been pretty good. And I think if he had played more in the regular season, I think he probably could be useful in the playoffs, but he hasn't played enough for me to trust him in the playoffs. Kuminga has, but not as much as I would have played him in the regular season. So I think my first thing that I'm trying to do is play. I think it's time to just make Jordan Poole a full-time starter. I think you play Steph and Poole and Klay together and just say to everybody else, stop it. Stop us. You're not going to stop us. Stop us. So I think the first thing, I think objective number one, or not objective number one, but like plan A is, I think in every starting lineup and every closing lineup, any minute that matters, Steph, Jordan, Klay, and Draymond are playing together, because Draymond's going to be good enough defensively to hold you together. Steph's okay. Poole's still kind of a disaster. He's better than he was, but he's still kind of a disaster. Klay has his moments, but hasn't been great. Yeah. And then the fourth guy, if you need GP2, you're really small, but if you want to go just like stop one guy, or if you want Andre for the veteran savvy, if you need Otto Porter because you want some shooting and you want to still be kind of big and be able to rebound, or like, so there's combinations, but I think the team now in this playoff run revolves around Steph, Poole, Klay, and Draymond. And I think you lean into it. I have fears that Jordan Poole is not going to start in the playoffs, but I think that would be a
We're not going down the road.
I think it would be a mistake.
Let me end you on this. Let's go with, all right, you're Steve Kerr.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the fairy tale route to the finals. Like, what does it look like? Not just rotation wise, but like matchup wise. Like, we got Denver round one. That allows me to.
Are we including the finals or just to the West?
Just to get to the finals.
To get to the finals.
Yeah.
Utah is definitely in round one because it feels very easy and I can work all of these things out.
They do look like they hate each other.
Yeah. Yeah, and it looks like ready to break.
And like they really don't hide it either. Like Donovan Mitchell is publicly telling everyone, hey, I really hate everyone. You know, like it's very clear that they are on the verge of a collapse. And you know what? Gobert are the worst. No.
All right. And then so we're gonna say the Warriors are the 3 seed. And then just because I think Steve Kerr is kind of petty. Like in humorous ways, I think, and I am a little scared of Memphis. Give me Minnesota as the 7 seed beating Memphis because he knows how to destroy D'Angelo Russell, and I think Steve would just kind of enjoy that. And for all the athleticism and swagger that Minnesota does have, and they are explosive offensively, they're not going to guard anybody. And I am not worried about Karl Anthony Towns guarding a pick and roll. Plus, they have no playoff experience, so I think Steve would really enjoy that. I mean, I'm not talking about what I think is going to happen, but you're asking me the dream scenario. And then I don't think
Phoenix this dream scenario revolves around probably, you know, Ja not coming back type of thing.
Sure.
Or just sure. like not being Ja.
Sure. Yeah. And then I think you do want Phoenix because I think the Warriors are and should be very confident against Phoenix. And Steph has his rivalry. And I assure you, Steve Kerr has a little rivalry with Chris Paul also. So I think that it would feel pretty good for Steve Kerr to kind of like beat the bully because they have become, hey, they're the best team in the NBA. And I think Steve would enjoy that. So I'm going to go Utah, Minnesota, Phoenix. I think that's the road that Steve Kerr would want.
You don't really believe Phoenix is that good.
I believe Phoenix is that good. I don't feel that Phoenix is particularly dangerous to the Warriors, but I do think Phoenix is that good. I mean, Phoenix is really good. There's not a lot of teams that have won 65 games in an NBA season. Phoenix is really good, but I don't think they provide the specific challenges that some other teams do for the Warriors. The Warriors, you're not going to out-execute. Well, you can out-execute the Warriors, but the Warriors are not going to be like overwhelmed by execution. The Warriors can be overwhelmed by athleticism and length and but you're not going to like out. The Warriors might not play well. They might not execute.
Yeah, you're
well.
Not going to catch them. Going to catch them off guard. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. You're not going to really like, smart. Chris Paul is not going to outsmart, you know, all these like young and unaware defenders on the Warriors. Like he can other teams, all the little like playoff tricks and all of that gamesmanship and stuff. That's not going to work against the Warriors.
Yeah,
but I do think Phoenix is really good.
Nah, we don't respect Phoenix around these parts.
I don't like him. Chris Paul is the least likable dude in the NBA, and I will root against. I will root against him winning a title. The only thing, the matchup I am dreading most in the NBA Finals, and I don't know that I don't think Philly's gonna make it anywhere near it. But Philly at Phoenix, because then either James Harden or Chris Paul is gonna win a title, and I want neither of those things.
Nah, I'm not worried about that. I don't.
Philly has no chance.
I'm watching Philly right now. I don't believe in them at all.
They're the most confusing team in the NBA.
I thought they'd have a little run at the title, but
I don't think so.
It's going to go the opposite way, and it's going to be very ugly in the summertime. That's my
yeah. Thoughts. And then like in the second half today, they scored like 90 in the second half. They are confusing. Sometimes James Harden looks like he's like still, he just like woke up from a nap and he was at the club. And sometimes he looks decent. Embiid always looks good. You never know what you're getting from Tobias Harris. Like Shake and Tyrese Maxey, really good, but kind of sometimes not. They're they just confuse me. But if it's Philly and Phoenix, I hope they don't get to finish the series.
Yes, I agree. I appreciate you.
Anytime, brother.